Chapter 8 0900 hours, July 30th, 2537, military calendar. Aboard UNSC Point of No Return. Location classified. 5 years after Alpha Company indoctrination. Lieutenant Ambrose and SCPO Mendez had been escorted to this catwalk through a series of corridors and high-security biometric vaults into the bowels of the stealth cruiser, Point of No Return. The security officers had then left them standing at attention on the catwalk and sealed the vault-like door behind them. Below the metal grating of the catwalk, the shadows swallowed all sound. 3 meters to Kurt's left was a slightly curved white wall, no door. Beyond was Odin's Eye, the high-security conference room where he'd first been told of the Spartan 3 program by Colonel Ackerson. "Think this is some Section 3 test?" Mendez finally whispered. "Or maybe someone doesn't like getting news about the lousy selection results for the Beta Company candidates."
"I'm not sure," Kurt replied. "My requested upgrades for the Mark II spy armor were over budget."
Mendez raised an eyebrow.
"Where did you hear that?"
"The new AI talks a lot."
"Deep Winter," muttered Mendez. "I wonder if AIs pick their own names, or if some officer in Section 3 does it."
Kurt was about to offer his opinion when he noticed there now was a door in the curved white wall. Colonel Ackerson stood there.
"Gentlemen, join us."
Ackerson then retreated into a brightly lit chamber. Kurt noticed that he hadn't met their eyes. That was always a bad sign. They entered, and as he crossed the threshold, Kurt felt static crawl over his skin. The concave, illuminated walls of the chamber were disorienting. Kurt focused on the center of the half-spherical room on the black conference table. 2 officers sat there, gazing at holographic screens that floated in the air over its surface. Ackerson waved them closer. A woman sat with her back to them. Opposite her sat a middle-aged gentleman. The man was gray and balding. The woman appeared older than regs permitted before mandatory retirement. Her osteoporotic slump, slender frail arms, and thinning white hair indicated extreme age. Kurt froze as he spotted the 1- and 3-star rank insignia on their collars and snapped off a salute.
"Vice Admiral, ma'am," he said.
"Rear Admiral, sir."
The Vice Admiral ignored Mendez and scrutinized Kurt.
"Sit," she said.
"Both of you." Kurt didn't recognize either of these high-ranking officers, and they didn't bother to introduce themselves. He did as he was ordered, as did Mendez. Even sitting, though, his back was ramrod straight, his chest out, his eyes forward.
"We were reviewing the record of your Spartan 3s since they were operational 9 months ago," she said. "Impressive."
The rear admiral gestured at floating holographic panes that contained after-action reports, still shots of battlefields filled with Covenant corpses, and ship damage assessment profiles.
"The insurrection of Memore," he said. "That nasty business at New Constantinople, actions in the Bonanza asteroid belt and the far-gone colony platforms, and 6 other engagements. This reads like the campaign record of a cracking good battalion, not a company of 300. Damned impressive."
"That was only a fraction of the Spartan 3 program potential," Colonel Ackerson said. His eyes stared at some distant point.
"I'm sorry, sir," Kurt said.
"Was?"
The Vice Admiral stiffened. It was clear that she was not accustomed to her junior officers asking questions. But Kurt had to. These were his men and women they were talking about. He'd kept his eyes and ears open for news on Alpha Company, and had cultivated intelligence sources outside ONI, Section 3, and Beta 5. Being commandant of Camp Currahee had its privileges, and he'd learned how to use them. He'd managed to track his Spartans during the last 7 months, until his sources had mysteriously gone silent 6 days ago. Only the AI, Deep Winter, had given a clue as to their whereabouts. Operation Prometheus.
"Tell me about the selection process for the next class of Spartan 3s, the Vice Admiral asked Kurt.
"Ma'am," Kurt said, "we're operating under Colonel Ackerson's expanded selection criteria, but
There aren't enough age-appropriate genetic matches to meet the larger second-class target number.
There are sufficient genetic matches, Colonel Ackerson corrected. His face was an impassive mask. What's missing are data to find additional matches. We need to prescribe mandatory genetic screening in the outer colonies. Those untapped populations are...
That's the last thing we need in the outer colonies, the Rear Admiral said. We're just getting a handle on a near civil war. You tell an OC they gotta register their kids' genes, and they'll all be reaching for their rifles.
The Vice Admiral steepled her withered hands.
Say it is part of a vaccine program. We take a microscopic sample as we inject the children. Inform no one.
The Rear Admiral looked dubious, but offered no further comment.
Go on, Lieutenant, she said.
We've identified 375 candidates, Kurt said. Slightly less than we started with for Alpha Company. But we've learned from our mistakes. We'll be able to graduate a much higher percentage this time. He nodded toward Mendez to give the chief the credit he richly deserved. Mendez sat completely still, and Kurt saw he wore his poker face. Every instinct Kurt had screamed that something was wrong here.
But, the Rear Admiral said, that's nowhere near the 1,000 projection for the second wave.
A brief scowl played over Ackerson's lip.
No, sir.
The Vice Admiral set her hands flat on the table and leaned closer to Kurt.
What if we loosen the new genetic selection criteria?
Kurt took note of the we in her question. There was a subtle shift in the power structure at the table. With a single word, the Vice Admiral had made Kurt a part of their group.
Our new bio-augmentation protocols target a very specific genetic set. Any deviation from that set would geometrically increase the failure rate, Kurt said.
The thought of dozens of Spartans being tortured and ultimately crippled as they lay helpless in a medical bay filled him with revulsion. He managed to contain the feeling. The Vice Admiral raised one threadbare brow.
You've done your homework, Lieutenant.
However, as our augmentation technology improves, Ackerson said, one day we'll be able to expand the selection parameters, maybe to include the entire general population.
But not today, Colonel, the Rear Admiral said and sighed. So we're back to about 300 Spartan threes. That will have to do then.
Kurt wanted to correct him. 300 new Spartans plus those in Alpha Company.
Let's move on to the review of Alpha and Operation Prometheus, the Vice Admiral said, and her face darkened.
Colonel Ackerson cleared his throat.
Operation Prometheus occurred on the Covenant manufacturing site designated as K-749.
The holographic asteroid materialized, drifting over the table. A rock with molten cracks that made a spiderweb pattern over its surface.
K-749 was discovered when the Prowler Razor's Edge managed to attach a telemetry probe on an enemy frigate during the Battle of New Harmony,
Ackerson said.
They then followed the craft through slipspace. The first and only time this technology has actually worked, I might add. And they discovered this rock, 17 light-years past the UNSC outer boundary.
The image magnified, revealing mid-altitude images of factories on the surface that belched smoke and cinder, and showed that the volcanic fissures were canals of flowing molten metal. A gossamer lattice surrounded the asteroid. Tiny lights winked on the filaments, and black specks drifted near.
Spectral enhancement, the Rear Admiral said, showed us what they're using all that metal for.
The view shifted closer. The latticework girders were 100-meter-wide beams, and the black specks appeared to be the bones of whales in orbit over K-749. A dozen partially constructed Covenant warships. Kurt had a difficult time believing what he was seeing. So many ships. How large was the Covenant fleet? And only 17 light-years from the UNSC frontier? It could be nothing less than a prelude to an all-out assault.
K-749 is one large orbital shipyard, Ackerson explained. All the apparent volcanism is artificial, created by these.
He tapped his tablet once more. 30 infrared dots appeared on the surface of the asteroid.
High-output plasma reactors that liquefy metallurgical components, which are refined, shaped, and then transported via gravity beams for final assembly. The Prometheus op was a high-risk insertion onto the surface of K-749. The Rear Admiral explained. 300 Spartans hit dirt at 0700 July 27th. Their mission was to disable as many of these reactors as possible. Enough so the liquid contents of the facility would solidify and permanently clog their capacity to produce alloy. Colonel Ackerson then tapped the holographic display. Star System and Team Cam recorded Alpha Company's process. A handful of the hot infrared points on the asteroid's surface flared and then cooled to black.
Initial resistance was light.
Ackerson tapped a button and a new window opened. On this display, Spartans and semi-powered infiltration armor systems moved, their camouflaged patterns shifting imperfectly against the molten metal and black smoke of the factory. Kurt wished his suggested upgrades for the spy armor software had been implemented before Alpha had graduated. There was a burp of suppressed submachine gun fire, and a pod of grunt SAV workers fell dead.
After 2 days, the Admiral said, 7 reactors were rendered inoperative, and a counterforce was finally organized by existing Covenant units.
A new video feed appeared. The vulture-like jackals moved in squads through large courtyards and filed over archways. They were more organized than their grunt counterparts, and they worked in fire teams, methodically clearing section by section. But Kurt knew his Spartans wouldn't be concerned. They would be the hunters. 30 jackals moved into a circular court, where engineers tended a churning pool of molten steel. The jackals cleared every hiding spot, and then started to cross, wearily scanning the rooftops. Flagstones exploded and sent the jackals sprawling. Sniper fire took out the stunned aliens before they could get their shields in place.
The Covenant counter-response was neutralized, the Rear Admiral continued. And over the next 3 days, Alpha Company destroyed 13 more reactors.
The large infrared asteroid-wide view changed. 2/3 of the surface had cooled to dull red.
But, the Rear Admiral said, a massive counterforce appeared in orbit and descended to the surface.
Colonel Ackerson opened 3 more holographic windows. Spartan 3s engaged elites on the ground, trading fire from cover. Banshee flyers swooped down from building tops. 2 Spartans fired shoulder-launched surface-to-air missiles and stopped the air assault cold.
On day 7, the Admiral said, additional Covenant reinforcements arrived.
The video from a helmet camera showed a dozen Spartan 3s limping and falling on a smoldering landscape of twisted metal. There was no unit cohesion. No 2-man teams covering one another. In the heat-blurred background, elites took up superior positions with good cover.
By now, the Rear Admiral said, 89% of the reactors had been destroyed. Sufficient cooling had occurred to permanently shut the operation down. Alpha Company was cut off from the Calypso exfiltration craft.
The window showing the Spartan 3s tilted sideways as the owner of the helmet cam fell. Ackerson rotated the holographic display 90 degrees to rectify the image. 3 Spartans remained standing, firing suppressing bursts from their MA-5Ks behind a crashed Banshee flyer. Then they broke from the cover and sprinted. A second before the flyer was destroyed by an energy mortar. IFF tags at the bottom of the screen identified these Spartans as Robert, Shane, and carried between them, Jane. She had been the first candidate to jump that first night of indoctrination. Team Bio appeared in another window. Robert's and Shane's blood pressure was close to the hypertensive limit. Jane's bio signs were flatlined. Seeing them like this, it felt like someone had driven a metal spike into Kurt's chest. A pair of hulking Covenant hunters blocked the Spartans' retreat. They raised their 2-meter-long fuel rod arm cannons. Robert unloaded his assault rifle at them, which hardly made the pair flinch as it spanged off their thick armor. Shane switched to his sniper rifle and shot through one hunter's unarmed midsection, and then pumped 2 rounds into the other's vulnerable abdomen. They both went down, but still moved, only momentarily incapacitated.
Elite fire teams, meanwhile, popped up on either side and unleashed a volley of needles and plasma shot. Robert caught a blot of plasma in the stomach. It stuck there, burning through his spy armor like paper. Screaming, he managed to reload and spray his MA-5B on full auto at the elite who had shot him. Team Bio showed his heart in full arrest, but he still grabbed a grenade, pulled the pin, and lobbed it at the enemy fire team. And then he fell. Shane paused to look at Robert and Jane, then turned back to the elite fire team and shot in 3-round controlled bursts. More elites appeared, surrounding the lone Spartan. Shane's rifle clacked. Empty. He pulled out his M6 pistol and continued to fire. An energy motor detonated like a small sun 2 meters away. Shane tumbled through the air and landed prone, unmoving.
"And that's all we have," Colonel Ackerson stated.
Kurt continued to stare at the screen of static, his heart racing, half expecting the feed to go live again and show Shane gather up Robert and Jane, and together they'd limp off the battlefield, wounded but alive. 7 years Kurt had trained them and grown to respect them. Now they were dead. Their sacrifice had saved countless human lives, and yet Kurt still felt like he'd lost everything. He wanted to look away from the screen, but couldn't. This was his fault. He had failed them. His training hadn't prepared them. He should have rectified the flaws in their Mark I PR suits and fixed them faster. Mendez reached over and tapped the colonel's tablet. The display mercifully blanked and faded away. Ackerson shot the chief a glare, but Mendez ignored him.
"Recent drone recon shows the entire complex cold," the rear admiral said. "No more ships will be built at K-749.
"Just to clarify," Kurt whispered, and then he paused to clear his throat. "There were no survivors of Operation Prometheus."
"It is regrettable," the vice admiral said, with the slightest softness now in her voice. "But we would do it again if presented with a similar opportunity, Lieutenant. Such a facility within 2 weeks' journey of the UNSC outer colonies. Your Spartans prevented the building of a Covenant armada that would have resulted in nothing less than the massacre of billions, their heroes."
Ashes. That's all Kurt felt. He glanced at Mendez. There was no emotion on his face. The man held his pain well.
"I understand, ma'am," Kurt said.
"Good," she said. All trace of pity had now evaporated from her tone. "I've put you in for a promotion. Your Spartans performed well above the program's projected parameters. You ought to be commended."
Kurt felt the only thing he deserved was a court-martial, but he said nothing.
"Now, I want you to focus and accelerate the training of the Beta Company Spartans," she said. "We have a war to win."